Knowledge is not power, but the application of knowledge is power. First, the knowledge.
Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils. He gave us his name to live by. He says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of Jesus Christ.
And now, the application of the knowledge.
Have you learned to use the name of Jesus? Most of us have never used the name of Jesus, except in prayer, in asking God for something. But the name of Jesus is an instrument.
It's time to learn with Pastor Chris how to use, when to use, and where to use this instrument in this exciting teaching series titled, Using the Name of Jesus. Stay tuned.
Many of you haven't positioned yourself for success, even though you think you have. I want to tell you what I just observed. I told you, tell five people, this is my year of supernatural accomplishments. Hold on. I said, tell five people. You sat down, shook one or two hands, and kept looking into your Bible. How do you succeed with that kind of obedience? Very simple. Very simple instruction. Why do you think we ask people to do certain things? See, let me tell you, when you come into the house of God where the Holy Spirit is present, you have to know that there are things you can be asked to do. No matter how simple they are, they're important. Now, when I tell you, say this to five people, why am I saying it? I'm not trying to while away time. I'm trying to get something to drop into your spirit. Maybe when you say it the first time, it may not happen. Maybe the third time, it may not happen. Maybe the fifth time, it will drop into your spirit. Now, there are lots of other reasons I could tell you, say it five times to yourself. But I said, tell five people. Again, because the word of the Lord in your mouth means something. And by saying it to someone else, if that person can receive it, you'd have ministered prophetically into that life. Because you're a child of God. It matters how we perceive what we are told to do. It also matters how we perceive the one that's talking to us. So those little things actually open up our spirits in a way that we didn't plan. Tell five people, you sat down, shook one hand, shook the other one. In fact, the second hand was as though he was disturbing you. He kept looking at your Bible. Already in disobedience. Already functioning in disobedience. You see that? So that has to change. Learn to follow very simple instructions. They're very simple. God said, Moses, stretch your hand over the water and divide it. I don't know what he expected to see. Stretch your hand over the water and divide it. He had never seen such a thing before. He had never heard of such a thing before. But he stretched his hand over the water. And the Bible tells us, God divided the Red Sea with the blast of his nostrils. God responded. Jesus said, after using the boats of the disciples, before they became his disciples, Peter and his friends, when Jesus used the boats, he turned to them and said, "Now, cast your nets into the deep for a catch." They said, "Master, we've toiled all night. There are no fishes here." Peter said, "Because you said it, I'll do it." He wasn't expecting anything. The result will tell you. His reaction will tell you he wasn't expecting anything. But he acted because Jesus said so. He didn't know Jesus before. But after hearing the man preach from his boat, he said, "Because you said it, I will do it." He wasn't expecting anything. He cast the net into the sea. And the Bible tells us there was a multitude of fishes in the net, that the net began to break. In fact, the Bible says the net broke. They had to call their friends to come and help them pull it out. When Peter saw the multitude of fishes beyond what he had ever seen before, the Bible says he fell on his face before Jesus. He said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner." Because he felt he was seeing God. It came from casual obedience. He just acted, "Because you said it, I'll do it. I don't feel like doing it. I don't think I should do it because I know better as a professional. But because you're the one telling me to do this, I've heard you, so I'll do it." He did it, and it was a marvel. Tell five people. How much will it cost you to tell five people? You are sitting down. A minister to one person one time and said, "Okay, it's over. Get up." He said, just like that. He expected a lot of praying. He didn't get up. Some of them said, "I knew that if I should just see you, I'll be healed." This one, "You not only saw, we touched." "Get up." Hallelujah. You are waiting for another opportunity to tell five people. Maybe not today. Only God knows what else he used to test you. Okay, now, we're in 2007 and we said it is our year of supernatural accomplishments. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's great. But how is that going to happen? Are we going to wait for God to do something? It's a year of supernatural accomplishments. You say, "Oh God, it's my year of supernatural." You can say it a thousand times. But you see, when it gets into your spirit, something happens. God begins to guide you on how that is going to work. How it is going to work. Do I have a responsibility? Is there anything I should do? You know, the Bible says Jesus Christ came to give us a special kind of life. Have you ever read? In fact, they sing it. They sing the song all the time. "The whole earth is filled with his glory." All right? We even sing it in worship. "The whole earth is filled with your glory." Right? Is it really filled with his glory? Tell me. Come on, talk to me. Or is it going to be filled with his glory? Hello? Is it filled with His glory, or is it going to be filled with His glory? You sure? If the Bible says the whole earth is filled with His glory, the earth is actually filled with His glory. Some can see it and some can't see it. It depends on where you live. For many people, life is wonderful, it's beautiful. For some others, life is terrible. Depends on where you live. It's a choice that you make in God's word after you've heard it. Or it's a choice you make for ignorance. So we live on different planes. Jesus gave us the life of God to live. And it's a wonderful life. It's a great life. You see the glory of God everywhere. There's that old song, I can see in you the glory of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the Lord of the Lord. Yeah? But is it true? It is true. The question is, even though you're singing the song, do you know it's true? But then, there's another side to it. Do you really see it? Maybe you don't see it. And why don't you see it? Because you're not using the right lenses. Come on here. I said, because you're not using the right lenses. Some of you are using lenses so you can see the letters in your Bible. Now, if you take off those lenses, there are some of you, you will see nothing. Blank with bold things you can't read. But you put those lenses there, and right away you can see. Great. Have you ever seen the glory of God in your home? Have you ever seen the glory of God in your own life? Do you see the glory of God in your family? Do you see the glory of God? Is it something we can see, or is it something that we just hope is there? We really can't see it, we just talk it? No, it's real. Glory stands for, the word glory stands for so many things. It's not only, you know, you think of a light, something bright, that you want to see a physical light, a physical glow. All of that is included, but there's more. There's brilliance that's unseen with the optical eyes. There's excellence. There's beauty. That inspires praise to God. How many of you, when you just gave your life to Christ, when you nearly gave your life to Christ, you just loved everybody? Tell me, you just loved everybody and you wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, including those who hated you, those who said nasty things about you, those who didn't want to see you. You just loved everybody. You wanted to talk to them about Jesus. How many of you experienced that? Can I see your hand up? I'd like to see your hand up if it's real. Oh, most of you. I feel sorry for the others who didn't experience that. You should have. Praise God. But do you know what? I've kept that all these years. Didn't stop. That's why I've told you several times, I've never met someone that I didn't like. I've never met anybody I didn't like. You know, even people I've heard of, now I don't know, what kind of rubbish is that? When I got to meet them, I just liked them. I just loved them. Maybe I would have thought wonderful about Saddam Hussein. Who knows? It's true. Because somehow I get to see in people the beautiful part of their lives. In spite of the fact, see, I'm not naive. I know when people are nasty and stupid and foolish. I know that. I can see that. But a lot of times I'm unable to actually respond to them from that perception, even though I can see that. But there's something more about their lives that's so beautiful. And it's the glory of God. Hallelujah. Would you like to see the glory of God in your life?
Yes.
Would you like to see the glory of God in everybody else?
Yes.
Would you like to see the glory of God everywhere you go?
Yes.
Yes. That's the way it ought to be. You live on the positive side of life. Not just because you think it's positive. No. But because it is positive in consistency with the Word of God. That's what makes it positive. You can go through hard times with praise to God. Difficult times, and yet you see the glory of God. Hallelujah. So, will you sing it now? I can see in you the glory of the Lord. You want to sing it? Okay, sing it one time. I feel like laughing at you. Are you singing it to the stage, to the pulpit? Sing it to somebody. Thank you. Sit down. Sit down. We are finished. As are some of you singing it like this, pointing particularly at nobody. But you see, the Word of God is for us to do. We are doers of the Word. The Bible says for us, be ye doers, doers, doers. You act the Word. You do it. You act the Word. For example, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, I didn't feel like rejoicing. I didn't think I should rejoice. But I've seen in the Word, it's come to me, rejoice in the Lord always. So I refuse to lament. I refuse to complain. I rejoice in the Lord. Father, I give you praise. Hallelujah. Glory. You're working in my life. See? You do the Word. You do it. That's what it says to do. Maybe you've been anxious about something. The Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. Right away, I refuse to be anxious. Then what does it say we should do? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So I refuse to be anxious. Then I pray. I make my request known. And when I've done that, like Peter says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I roll it all on Jesus. I get rid of it. And the peace of God now rules in my heart. And as I got peace in Jesus' mighty name, I got peace. Hallelujah. I got peace in my heart. I refuse to be moved. I refuse to be troubled. I got peace in my heart. Now while I'm saying it, I may still be getting a bit worried. So what am I doing? I'm fighting it. I got peace. I got peace. I got peace. Glory to God. I got peace. Whoa! Hallelujah. Now gradually that voice of worry starts drowning, and the joy of the Lord takes over. The joy of the Lord takes over. Hallelujah. You're still there? Hallelujah. Well, this is your year. Hallelujah. I said, this is your year. Acts chapter 3, I want to read to you from verse 1. Book of Acts chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes some people say that Pastor Chris preaches prosperity. And I say, no, that's wrong. I say, people who think that way have not heard me. They thought they heard. They haven't heard. They thought they heard me. They haven't heard me. They're pretending to have heard. They didn't hear me. Some others say, well, I think he preaches healing. Well, they're wrong. They thought they heard me. It means they haven't heard. Because my message is not prosperity, it's not healing. Where some others say, well, preaches on the anointing. Well, they're wrong. Oh, what does he preach then? I preach Jesus Christ. I preach Jesus Christ. And what he came to do. And what he did. And what he's doing. That's what I preach. That's what I preach. I said that for a reason. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Some people don't hear right. See, if you listen to the word that we share with you, you will have a balanced life. You'll be balanced all around. Jesus came to give us a balanced life. Balanced life. You'll be balanced every way. Everything will be all right with you. Everything. Praise God. All right, let's look at this. We just read something. Let's look at verse six. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Who is he talking to? Verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. A certain man lame from his mother's womb. Think about it. Lame from where? From his mother's womb. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. They carried him. Couldn't walk. Couldn't walk, couldn't creep. And it's important for us to examine this case very well. He could not walk, he could not creep. I'll show you why. I can tell you that he could not walk or creep. Because they had to carry him. If he could creep, they wouldn't need to carry him. Let's look. Lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. They laid him there. They put him there. He couldn't get there himself. Now the man, verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in arms, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now look, notice his feet and ankle bones. Touch your ankles. Good. That's down there. The ankle bones receive strength. Meaning, that's where the anointing went into. Even though the man got him by the right hand, the feet and ankle bones received strength. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. But they carried this man every day. From his mother's womb, he was lame. Since they had to carry him and lay him there, he couldn't get there by himself at any one time. Now, Bible says they led him daily. They put him there every day. Couldn't get there. He must have had problems here around his waist. He must have had problems in his knees. But there was where the power of God touched him. His feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, what does the Bible say? And he, look at it. Verse 8, everybody read that. Verse 8. Yeah. Did you see that? It says, and he, leaping up. How do you leap? Here. There was where he felt the power of God. And he, leaping up, stood. Couldn't stand before. In other words, the man responded. But here's the beautiful part I want you to see. We'll go back to verse 6. How did Peter minister to this man? He said to the man, silver and gold have I none. He didn't have any money at the time. He said, but such as I have, I give you. What did Peter have? He had the life of God in him. What did Peter have? He had the Holy Ghost. What did Peter have? He had the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name. Now notice he didn't pray. Look at it again. Look at verse 6. The latter part of verse 6. That's not prayer. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I said, that's not prayer. He didn't pray. He preached a message to the man. He preached the message to the man. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He preached the message to the man. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man couldn't walk on his own. Nobody could make him walk. Now, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. There was a man that had a problem. So he had been an ambulance driver for years and was taken up sick with a heart condition. And for some reason, the man, I understand, had to be brought in by an ambulance. Probably he had collapsed or something. So when I asked for him, they brought him to the meeting, to the front. I didn't say anything. He was on the stretcher right before us, and I stretched my hand over him. I didn't say anything. He said he saw someone in white. I know I was wearing a white suit, but you know what? I don't think it was me he was seeing, for a reason. Because he said the man told him, in the name of Jesus, rise up. And I didn't say anything. Now, here was what I observed while I was stretching my hand over him. When the Spirit of God got into him, I knew the Spirit got into him from his neck area here. And then he began to get up. But he said, he was told, in the name of Jesus, rise up. And I didn't say anything to him. Praise God. Are you still there? Well, that's a message. He heard it. He heard it in his spirit. Because he said he didn't know where he was. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know how he was brought in there. He didn't know how he got there. He didn't know where he was. Hello? Look at it again. Look at what Peter said. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then Peter got him by the right hand and lifted him. As he lifted him, his ankle bones, his feet and ankle bones received strength. He didn't say his hand received strength. He says his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood. He responded to the message. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He had never walked before. The man was about 40 years old. Never walked from birth. What is that message? What was Peter saying? Peter was saying, you can do the impossible in the name of Jesus Christ. You can do the impossible in the name. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know whether you're getting it. This is not prayer. This is the doing. He says to the man, in the name, rise up and walk. In the name, he pulls him up.
His feet and ankle bones received strength. The Bible says he leaped and upstood. He walked. In the name. Rise up and walk. Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up. Get up in the name. Forget about what you cannot do. Now, do this in the name. In the name. Hallelujah. I like this. Have you ever gone somewhere in the name of someone else? Imagine there's a function. You're not expected to be there. And maybe the minister of information or the minister of education was expected to give the address, and you weren't expected. Or maybe the governor of the state was expected to give the address. You were not being expected. In fact, no one would have expected to see you come up the platform. But the man gave you the address and said, you read this address for me. And he gives you the authority to read the address for him. That means in his place. That means in his name. You're going to be reading this address in the name of His Excellency, the governor. Now, you didn't think the policemen, all the security details, would have never allowed you to come up there. Come on, what do you think you are? You know? He said, not me. But then you get this paper in your hand. And then they said, now we're going to listen to His Excellency's address. And here you get up and you're walking straight. And somebody says, hey, where are you going? Say, I'm reading the address. You? What do you mean? You show him something. Okay? They let you pass. You see, you come up there, everyone lets you cross. You come, until you get there. And then, ladies and gentlemen, wow. What's happening? They may not want to listen to you. They may not have wanted you on that platform. But you came in the name. You get it now? Where you couldn't go? Hallelujah! Where you couldn't go? You have come into it. In His name. The man couldn't walk. Peter knew. The Bible says they laid the man daily at the gate. Peter had been to that temple several times before. Jesus himself had been there before. That man was there when Jesus came. That man was there all the time Peter came. Couldn't do nothing for him. But Jesus said to Peter, in my name you shall cast out devils. And whatever you ask or demand to be done in my name will be done. Ask and it shall be given you. He told him. He'd given him what? The power of attorney to use his name. Peter knew it. If he shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall take up serpents. If you shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. In my name. So,
we have done in his name. Peter says, so anybody can do anything in your name. Oh, glory to God. Jesus said, all authority, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and make students of the nations. Now Peter says to the man, we can now do anything. That's what he was telling the man. We can do anything. You want to walk and you couldn't walk before? Now you can walk in his name. You can see in his name. You can do anything. Hey, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up! The man, no, hey man. They picked him. And his feet and ankle bones. Whoops. Wow. It happened. It happened. That's why it was written for us. It happened. Hallelujah. I'll never fail in my life. Oh, never. Never. Because now, hey, can I show you something else? You want to see it? All right, come with me. Oh, glory to God. Colossians chapter number 3. Have you seen it? It's verse 17. Now I want you all to read it together. 1, 2, go. My goodness. Are you sure you saw it? He says, and whatsoever ye do in word, that means in speaking, or in deed, in work, he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I love Paul's construction here. He doesn't say do all in the name of the Son of God. He says do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Master, the Lord. He is the Lord Jesus. So he's number one. He's talking about the highest authority. Now, come here. Let me read it to you from the Amplified version. Anybody's got the Amplified here? Anybody's got the Amplified? Oh, I want you to read it. Instead of reading it to you from here, let me get you to read it. Now, where's the sister? There's a sister who wanted to read it there. Okay, give her a microphone. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed.
No matter what it is.
In word.
Start again.
And whatever you do,
uh-huh.
No matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And in dependence upon his person.
And in dependence upon his person, not your person. In dependence upon his person.
Giving praise to God the Father through him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Why? Moses said to God in the Old Testament, when God said to him, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, who shall I say sent me? What is your name? I can't just go. I mean, Pharaoh's got hundreds of gods. He's got hundreds of gods. He's got a lot of gods. How can I come and say, God said? He's going to say, which one? So he said, oh God, what is your name? If I get there, which God am I going to say? God said, I am that I am. In other words, go and tell him, I am said, let my people go. What a name. I am that I am. Well, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews said, wow, you have taken up the name of God. You are saying that you and God answer the same name. You are I am. They picked up stones. And Jesus escaped. Well, that's what the Bible says. So Jesus said, I am. He called himself, I am. Now, who are we? No, hold on. You are not I am. Let me explain something to you. He is I am. You are in him. You see the difference? You are in him. He is I am. You are in him. That's why he says, do all in the name of Jesus. Because you have lost the life of your own. But too many Christians are still trying to live their own life. You don't have your own life anymore. This year, 2007, practice living in the name of Jesus. Living in the name of Jesus. He says, whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, he says, let it be in the name of Jesus. There's ability in the name. He says, whether you're talking or you're doing something. Now, I want you to understand this. It's so important. It doesn't mean I want to shift this thing over here. I want to arrange it in Jesus' name. I take up the flower in the name of Jesus. I put you here in the name of Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. I sit down. I used to have a friend like that, you know, some years ago. I don't know where he got his message from. And then he started doing Now listen, you can't do that. You can't move around in the name of Jesus. I open the door in the name of Jesus. I sit down in the name of Jesus. I drink Coca-Cola in the name of Jesus. Thank you in the name of Jesus. You be weird. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. How do I know that that's not what he's saying? Because his life is recorded for us in the book of Acts. And I've read some of his conversations. And he didn't say everything with the conclusion of the name of Jesus. What is he telling you? He says, do all in the name. Meaning as his representative. And what function with that consciousness. And I love the way the Amplified put it a moment ago when we were reading it. It's an independence and its person. Because name in the Greek language is onoma, meaning authority, character. In Hebrew, it's about the same. It's about the same, really. The Hebrew word is shem. Shem, for name. It means authority. It means character. Hallelujah. That means in his authority. in his character. That's why it says depending on his person, who he is, his character. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. I'm a success. Because you see, whatever I do in the name of Jesus. And when you want to create that consciousness, you say it. You say it. You say in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you today. It's a beautiful day, and I go out in the name of Jesus. And Lord, everything I put my hands upon to do today will be successful because I do it in the name of Jesus. And when you take those materials you're working on, whatever they may be, you set out with prayer. You say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I get to work. I have the understanding of the Spirit. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. There's something else I wanted to tell you, but